There is no health without mental health. This is Mental Wealth on 103.2 Dublin City FM with Brian Green. To contact the programme, email mentalwealth@dublincityfm.ie.
On today's programme, I have a couple of interviews. First, I'm going to talk with Rita O'Reilly from Parentline. Rita.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
How are you doing? Tell us, you've got a request for people to volunteer, but before we go there, can you tell us about Parentline?
Sure. Parentline is a helpline for parents. It's somewhere for parents to pick up the phone, discuss their parenting issue, offload stress. We will give support, we give information, we give guidance. And if somebody, if we feel we can't deal with it, we would refer you on to somebody else. Facilitators work with a database of more than 2,000 records, so there's always somebody we can refer you on to. Having said that, generally, just the chat is enough. It's usually very, very good.
You're there like Childline is there for children, you're there for parents.
Childline for mommy and daddy. Yeah, exactly. That's it. That sort of thing.
And all kinds of issues get discussed. There's no typical call, is there?
Absolutely everything you can think of about being a parent we discuss, right from a brand new baby up to adult children. I am aware of somebody ringing about their 60-odd-year-old son, so it's right up across the spectrum. As my own mother used to say, once a parent, always a parent. But the in terms of the topics people ring us about, the most frequently occurring one is what we call teenage issues. And that's, you know, it's a very general term, but it's all those things, the banging the door, the I want to go out with my mates, can I go to the Wes? All of those things that teenagers, you know, wearing inappropriate clothes, all of those things. What age should I let them go out? What time should I let them come in, get them in at? Those things. And then after that is child to parent anger and aggression, where the child is being angry and aggressive towards their parent. And then it goes down there, there's depression, there's anxiety, there's bullying, being bullied, all of the things that you can imagine when you're dealing with the child.
As an organisation, you've been around a number of years. Have things changed over the years?
Yes, they have. It's funny, things go in phases. I mean, I remember when I started in Parentline, it was all drugs. That was the top of the pops, so to speak. And then we're also the National Helpline for Postnatal Depression. So we got a lot more calls then about postnatal depression than we do now, proportionally speaking. Now, very definitely, it's that anger and aggression that wasn't there, you know, 10 years ago. It's increasing all the time.
And is social media, and when should my child be on a device and off
that
a device?
Definitely appears. We get a lot of calls from parents about, you know, what devices they should be on. But we get a lot of calls from parents sort of saying, my child is very angry, and it turns out that they're on the social media for hours. Do you know what I mean? So it's playing into, or my child doesn't want to go to school. Well, they've been on social media until 4 o'clock this morning, so that's why. You know, it's playing into the other issues. And it's definitely, I mean, obviously that didn't exist. I was saying this to somebody the other day. I have a 21-year-old son. And when he was 15, 16, that's when he started playing with Xbox or PlayStation. Whereas now it's at 10 and 11. You know, so those things have definitely changed. And it's getting younger all the time. And what's happened as well is parents are playing it now where 10 years ago parents wouldn't have played it, you know. So it's becoming more and more a problem.
Is it a line for mummies and daddies to call?
It's definitely for both, absolutely. Now, 84% of the calls comes from mummies. But the daddies are increasing all the time. You know, every year there's a few more dads ringing, but it's for both. And grandparents, guardians, maybe even childminders, you know, so we get it from everybody. But primarily mothers.
Okay. You are a voluntary organisation, or you run with a volunteer helpline. Do you get tons of cash from the state, is my question?
We are funded by TUSLA. We get 66,000 a year from TUSLA. And with that, I get paid, and that pays my salary. It pays the rent, the phone bills, you know, stationery, training.
It's not a lot.
So that's what we run on. We get very little fundraising. We do some fundraising, but I think, I don't know, we're not that successful with fundraising. My instinct is that people feel that parents don't need to be supported, you know, they don't have the same need, but my feeling is that if parents were supported, maybe some of the children wouldn't need as much support. Do you know what I mean?
Therefore, I gather with that level of support, financially, you run on the volunteer efforts of your supporters.
All of the calls are taken by volunteers. Fantastic group of people. Absolutely, we currently have about 47. We need 52 to run, at least 52 to keep the line running successfully. And we've got a lot of people here who are with us, you know, 25 to 30 years, which is brilliant. And then but things get in your way, you know. Like only this morning, one of our volunteers rang to say her husband is sick, so she's going to have to step down. So that sort of thing happens from time to time, and so therefore they need to be replaced. So at the moment, we're looking for people who are interested in volunteering. We ask them to do 3 hours a week, and it's a dedicated 3 hours. So if you opt to do 10 o'clock to 1 on Monday morning, well, that's your 3 hours. Obviously, if you're sick or on holidays or whatever, we can facilitate. And before going on the lines, there's training, and training in counselling and listening skills. The training course is starting next Saturday, so I know it's all very speedy, but I think if somebody's interested, they can say, right, that's it, I'm going to do it now.
And what kind of person are you looking for? Do they have to have been a parent?
No. We have people who aren't parents here. They don't have to be a parent. Most of the people we have here are parents, but that's not a requirement. What is a requirement is that you're a good listener and you want to sort of spend time with people. Give your absolute time to that person when you're on the phone to them. For the call lasts about 50 minutes usually. So for that time, it's about spending and giving your time to the caller and listening to them. And that's what we want. That's the kind of person we want. You know, there's the training before. People I know before they train, they say, oh, I don't know, I wouldn't be able to answer everything. But that's not what it's about. It's about the listening and the guiding the parent through their issue, through the call. And in doing that, the parent will go a long way towards resolving their issue. And they can ring back or that we can refer them on to somewhere else. And it's very often, it's just an opportunity to see the wood for the trees. So our volunteers are trained to guide the person through that call. The training, as I said, is in counselling and listening skills initially. And then on a monthly basis, we've training in the topics that come up on the phone. Like the juvenile liaison officer is coming in next Monday to talk to our volunteers and give them training in that, because a lot of parents use juvenile liaison officers. And we need to know the parameters and what, you know, what's covered and what's not covered in that. The Children's Rights Alliance are coming in, and then we've got somebody coming in to talk to us about dyspraxia, so that our volunteers, they wouldn't be experts on all of these things, but they become familiar.
So there's ongoing continuous professional development of your volunteers so that they can deal with the latest things that are coming up on the phone line. But coming up very shortly is training and induction for new people who want to get involved. When's that starting?
It's starting next Saturday, the 22nd, and then it'll be on the 6th of October and the 24th of October. So anybody interested, I would ask them to give us a call, 1-890-927-277 or 8733-500. The numbers are on the website if you want.
And the website is?
Parentline.ie.
Okay.
And then complete an application form. If they have any questions, I'll happily answer any questions, or the people on the helpline would answer questions for you. And you complete the application form. We would like to meet the volunteers then before they start, just a quick informal meeting, and so that they know we're for them and they're for us. And then they start the training on the 22nd.
Okay, and it's not like you can come on the 22nd or the 6th or the other date.
No,
you need to go to all three.
It is important that you do it all. There's a lot of learning. And it does help the confidence of the volunteer. You know, when a volunteer comes in and they're looking at the phone and thinking, oh my God, how am I going to answer that phone? If you've been through the training, all of that helps. And the other thing I should say is even after the training, you don't take a call immediately. You would sit in the helpline room with experienced volunteers and hear how they're taking the calls. And then after a while, when you do begin to take a call, we'll have somebody mentoring you, listening into your calls and supporting you. And then after that, then when you're ready, you take the call yourself. And there's always somebody in the helpline room to sort of help you there. There's always tea, coffee and biscuits there, so that if you take a difficult call and you feel, oh God, that was hard, we would encourage the volunteer not to take the call home, but to sit down with their colleagues, have a cup of tea and download it. Some calls are pleasant, but occasionally you come across a call that's just hard to take. You know, it'll play on your mind a little bit.
Okay, so someone's listening to us right now on the radio and they're not quite sure if it's for them. Make a pitch, 30 seconds. Why should they ring you to get involved?
Well, first of all, you're giving something to people that really need it. As I said, a lot of our volunteers are working here for 30 years, so they've made friends. They enjoy coming in. We're very fussy about how we match people up on the helpline. There's ongoing training. Anybody who's a parent, you'd be surprised what you learn that will help you with your parenting. You know, you sort of think, God, I could use that. And you can just ask other volunteers about your parenting as well. It's a very confidential, anonymous environment and supportive environment, I would say.
Brilliant. So it's parentline.ie for more details, and the phone numbers again.
1-890-927-277 or 8733-500.
Rita O'Reilly from Parentline, thanks very much for explaining that, and the best of luck in finding those volunteers.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you.
There is no health without mental health. This is Mental Wealth on 103.2 Dublin City FM with Brian Green.
Next, we go to a play that's travelling to Dublin and will be on Wednesday in Tala and Friday in Dundrum. I'm talking with Anthony Kinahan of Quintessence Theatre. Anthony, how are you doing?
I'm great, Brian. Thanks very much.
You are travelling down from Louth and you've got a play on, and tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, we are. We have a play going on an Island of Ireland tour, an 18 venue Island of Ireland tour, which started a couple of weeks back in the Dríocht, and we're touring up with a show called Cracks. Cracks is an original show. It was devised by ourselves, the company Quintessence Theatre, as part of our residency in Antón Arts Centre in Dundalk back in 2016. And we devised the show, which means we kind of made it up from scratch. And the show is about mental health. It's exploring the mental health issues in Ireland. And it's all seen through the eyes of the protagonist, Leanne Dowd. She's a young girl. She's just recovering from an attempted suicide. She's struggling with depression and anxiety. And the whole play is seen through her eyes as she goes through an Irish world, you know, dealing with these issues. And so it very much flags up about the stigma that exists in Ireland about mental health. It flags up the cracks in the system, where perhaps, let's say, the HSE, aren't filling in the gaps there, perhaps. And while these things kind of maybe fall to NGOs and community mental health services and things like that. But it is also very funny, darkly funny, and it is quite poignant and moving at times. So it does go that roller coaster, that pendulum from being really funny to quite sad at times. So the reactions we get from audiences that, like, they were on a roller coaster, they were laughing 1 minute and crying the next. So it is a device show. We are a physical theatre company, so we multi-role in it. So basically, there's the actress Leah Rossiter plays Leanne Dowd, the protagonist, and then myself. I play about 30 different roles in the show, and my fellow actor Fiona Keenan O'Brien also plays another 30 actors in the show, and we create the world around Leanne in a very physical way. There's also elements of film and music and sound that bring the whole world to life around Leanne. It was directed by Anna Simpson, who is the director of Quintessence Theatre as well. And we devised this, so that's to say, we went into the room, we had the idea that we wanted to do a show about mental health. We had the name of the protagonist, and we knew that she just attempted suicide, but we knew nothing else. And in 2.5 weeks, through improvising different scenarios and different scenes, we came up with this show, which is a 90-minute show. It's touring the island. And it's having a real profound effect on audiences, which is great to see. As part of the Cracks experience, we also provide a forum for a post-show discussion, which actually includes the mental health professionals. So we see it as our duty of care to the audience to come to see Cracks, that it might touch a nerve with certain members of the audience and whatever, and therefore we make sure there's a mental health professional available so the audience can kind of debrief with us, give us their reactions, give their feedbacks, or even talk about their own experiences. And these post-show discussions we have found to be one of the most rewarding parts of the whole experience, where, you know, you've had, you know, I mean, mental health struggles are don't discriminate. It can affect a member of any class, member of any sex, you know, any race, you know, any age. So, you know, you've had young people standing up in front of their peers and asking, you know, how might they help a parent who might be suffering from mental health issues, right down to, you know, grandparents who talk about the loss of their grandchildren, you know, through suicide and how they got over it. And so it's been a really rewarding part of the whole thing, and people have found it very cathartic. So yeah, it's been having a great effect, and we're delighted to be doing this tour. It's tour is funded by the Arts Council of Ireland and the Arts Council of Northern Ireland as well. So as a new up-and-coming company from the Northeast, we're delighted to be receiving that funding, and we get a chance to get our name out there and to deliver the message of the show around the island.
Brilliant. Through the magic of radio, let's have a listen to a little bit of the play now.
What's wrong with you?
Messed up in your life. Talk.
She's not herself.
I'm scared. Trying to commit suicide. Snap out of it. Ah, she's always fucking crying.
You're not supposed to upset her.
We're scared, Leanne.
What's wrong?
We're scared.
Why didn't Leanne, you tell me?
How am I supposed to understand that she's always fucking crying? Do you feel better yet?
Let's fix all this.
You mean she do? I see the edge of the power of the breakdown.
What's wrong?
You really do. Don't talk to me. Normal door. What's wrong?
What's wrong? What's wrong?
How am I supposed to understand that she's always fucking crying?
What's wrong?
Cracks is on in the Civic Theatre in Talla, 11 a.m. on Wednesday, and the Mill Theatre in Dundrum, 8 p.m. on Friday night, which is Culture Night. Tickets are €15 for each performance?
Well, there's different prices.
For different
venues,
places,
so the venue sets the price, but all the tickets are available. So if you, for Talla, the tickets are available at civictheatre.ie, and for the Mill in Dundrum, it's themill.ie.
Is this the first time you've done something like this?
This, we've been the theatre company in residence in Antonin Arts Centre since 2015. So it's been great to have our own forum here. They've really nurtured us as a new company. So we've been developing our own work as a company since 2015. There was previous devised works, but Cracks has been the first one to kind of take on a life of its own. And since Cracks, we have done other devised work that has, you know, garnered a lot of attention, and we hope to bring on tour. For example, some of our children we did earlier on this year about the failings of the Irish foster care system, and we hope to take that on tour next year. And there was also a devised piece we did this year, commissioned by the Drogheda Arts Festival, and that was called The Star of Chester's Lane, about, let's say, the Molly Malone of Drogheda, who also was a Mulan type figure who dressed, it was rumored to dress as a man to make her place in the world. And that went down a storm, and that's already been revived in the Druid Art Centre in Drogheda there last month. So, yeah, amongst those shows, we also do adaptations of classics, and then we also do family orientated shows in the past. So we have a fair old repertoire of stuff there that we are just chomping at the bit to unleash to the country, you know. So it's been great to have had that forum in Antón Art Centre in the Dock for the last few years to be able to develop our own style and create our own work. So it's been great.
Brilliant. You use the word devised a lot. I take it that that's kind of saying that this isn't like written by a playwright in a room on his own. This is something that you do in a kind of an experiential, improvised kind of first done on stage way. I'm guessing now that is that how you do it?
Absolutely, yeah. So we go into, like, take Cracks, for example. We went into a room just knowing that the theme, we wanted to do something about mental health. We knew, you know, the character was going to call Leanne and that she'd just attempted a suicide attempt, and we knew nothing else. So then we just picked, you know, different characters that might be in her life, and we improvised scenes around the situation. So, like, for example, we were like going, okay, so the parents bring her home from the hospital from the suicide attempt. What happens? Go. And we would improvise the scene, and, you know, we would do it a few times and tweak it, this, that, and the other, but under Anna's supervision. And, you know, then we might be able to take something that then is scripted and you know, put down on paper to be part of the show. As I said, we are also a physical theatre company, so we do try and physicalize as much as possible or have movement sequences, so that kind of experience is very close to our heart, and that's the way we like to tell stories as well. So it is very theatrical way of telling stories.
What reaction have been getting from the audiences that have seen it already?
Like for example, we did our fourth revival of it in Dundalk last week as part of this tour. And already, you know, we're still getting feedback in from audience members who are like, I'm still affected by, you know, I still think about it, you know, or that story was me in that story, or I know how to relate to this person in my life with mental health issues better now because I've seen how the other characters related to Leanne in the show. They were able to get more of a vocabulary or know what to do a little bit more. And you know, but then also the comedy in it that, you know, they were laughing their heads off. I mean, we satirize, you know, the cracks in the system or the stigma in Ireland. So we use comedy to highlight those kind of elements a lot. So, you know, you can go from laughing your head off 1 minute and crying the next. So, and you know, it's great to get all that feedback from them, especially in the post-show discussion afterwards. But then, you know, on social media afterwards, you know, some of the comments we get in have been very touching, very moving, very humbling. So it's been great to see. And it's that kind of thing that when we knew we had this nugget of a show, and we it's been a passion of ours to share it with the rest of the country, not only as theatre professionals, like actors, producers, directors, wanting to get our work out there, but also that we believe so much in the message of the show and the content of the show that we want everybody to see it.
It sounds very similar to something I've seen before called Box of Frogs, which was three actors, well, one comedian, two actors on stage, improvising and telling kind of personal stories through a lens or a prism about their experiences of their own mental health. But this sounds a little bit more dark and comic at the same time.
Yeah. And we pride ourselves on that, on the comedy aspect of it. And as I say, if you were bashing somebody over the head with mental health and depression and anxiety for an hour and a half, then people are going to switch off. And I think what better way to highlight some of the absurdness of the stigma, some of the absurdness of the mental health system in Ireland, than by using comedy. I think it translates, it communicates the point in a more efficient way than sometimes drama can. Just saying, quite similar to that. I'm not familiar with that show now myself, so I can't comment on it, but we're very proud of it. Like,
can I ask you, how do you do 30 characters? That must be very exhausting for you in a night.
I thrive in it, Brian. it's a great thrill for me as an actor to be able to go from high drama one moment and then literally turn on a dime and become physically a different character that might be an absurdly comic character. And I love it. It's a great thrill for me as an actor. Now, I know different actors enjoy different things. So some actors might like having a full through line of a show and playing something really dramatic the whole way through. But for me, I love playing the whole gamut, the whole range of it. And it's hard work. Like, it's very physically demanding. We would have to do full hour-long warm-ups in the morning and, you know, make sure that we're ready for it. But and as well, the show has movement sequences as well that, you know, are akin to choreography nearly. So to help with the storytelling. So it can be very physically demanding. And, God, you'd be sweating coming off that stage. But... I love it. I absolutely love it now, I have to say.
You're going to get to see some great places on the whole island of Ireland.
Yes, yeah. So we're going from the Civic and the Mill in Dundrum. We also have Ballymun on the 10th of October as well. And then outside of Dublin, we're going to everywhere from Portlaoise to Galway to Kilmallock to Listowel to Limerick. And then actually, we're delighted to be doing many venues north of the border as well. So we're doing Downpatrick, Newry, Derry, Coleraine, Armagh. So, yeah, we're delighted. And back up in the northeast, we're doing Monaghan as well. So we're thrilled to be able to get our work out there, you know, as a new company. But also we're really passionate about getting that message of the content of the show, of Cracks, out there as well. And we want the whole island to see it.
Brilliant. And I'm delighted to hear that it's coming to Ballymun, which is near me, and it's on World Mental Health Day, October 10th. So that's a poignant day for it to come to Ballymun. A plug, finally, for the Wednesday night and Friday night shows.
In the Civic in Tala on Wednesday the 19th. A matinee show, the 11 a.m. show. And then we also have the evening show in Mill and Dundrum at 8 p.m. on Friday. And so I think that's Culture Night as well. So be cultured, come see Cracks. And tickets are available from the venue's website at thecivictheatre.ie and themill.ie as well. You can find out more information about the company on Facebook at Quintessence Theatre Co, Twitter at Quintessence Pro. So all the details of the full tour are on our social media.
Brilliant. Cracks from Quintessence is on this week in Dublin. Don't miss it. Get it in Ballymun on October 10th. Anthony Kinahan, thanks very much for your time today.
Great. Thanks very much, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Just to wrap things up on the programme, next week we'll be talking with Rick Rossiter. And Rick's bio on Twitter says that he's a mental health advocate consultant for Sea Change, Refocus, Aware, eHealth, First Fortnight. He's a blogger on bipolar and BPD, and he has mental health first aid. He's a proud Newfoundlander. I've been waiting to interview Rick for a while. It's going to be a good one. Former guest on the show, Lynn Ruan, Senator Lynn Ruan's book is out. It's called People Like Me. It's available in all the good bookstores. And I recommend you go out and get it, because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give it a good read. And finally, we're just still pushing this event that's on next week called Let's Talk. And it's Corla Ninogue, and it's on in the Mansion House from 10:30 to 3:30 in the Oak Room next Wednesday, the 26th of September. And look forward to that. This has been Mental Wealth with me, Brian Green. Until next week. At the same time, 12:30. Have a great week. Take care. Stay safe. Bye-bye.